Welcome to the Hirogenics podcast series, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to the Innova Solutions podcast series. I'm Lisa O'Leary, and I'm here with Valerie Quinata, SVP Workforce Management Solutions at Hirogenics. And today we're going to focus on resume accuracy, discrepancy, and echo. It's a pleasure having you here today, Valerie. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I am so excited to go over these topics of the resume accuracy. This is all new to me. I mean, I'm familiar with resumes, but let's dive in and talk about why is it important to have an accurate or precise and consistent resume.
When you think about the way that your resume is processed once it leaves your hands, it is going to be either viewed or read by algorithm, a bot, a recruiter, an HR manager, a hiring manager. Every single one of those entities reviewing your resume is looking for something a little different. And as they look, as they view it, they have learned over time that certain red flags in resumes can lead to a bad hiring decision. And they've documented those flags. And those flags have become something that they look for on a regular basis in order to weed out talent so that they have a smaller talent pool to work from to make their hiring decisions.
So then with accuracy, do we need to look at a job description and use keywords for the resume?
We do. And there's a couple of things to note for accuracy. One of the ideas behind accuracy is errors that you make by mistake when you leave data in your resume about your professional work history, for example. If you have dates that overlap in your positions, that's a discrepancy around accuracy. So they're going to look at that and say, all right, were they working two jobs at the same time or did they make an error here? I don't have time to call them and have someone fix that and resubmit this candidate. I'm going to move on. So accuracy is also about just reading your resume backwards, letter for letter, and ensuring that you have not made an error, whether that is an error in your content or an error in your work history or error in your dates. You want to make sure that those are all accurate. So accuracy is also about just making sure that your resume is error-free.
Wow, no pressure. It's a good thing that, you know, we focus on that because this is going to be really insightful for our listeners. And when we're creating our resumes, is this something that is more so like we're telling our own story or do we need to just be specific about, okay, I'm just going to write information about, you know, my background instead of actually showcasing like who I am?
That is such a great question. And I would say that when you are submitting a resume, you are telling your story. What we're learning now is that hiring managers and algorithms and bots, they develop their own stories based on what they're reading in your resume. And those stories have to do with red flags that they've had to deal with in the past from failed hirings. So you want to tell your story, but you want to tell your story in a way that shows you acknowledge that other people reading your resume might have a question about this or this or this. And so you make sure that you address those issues from the very beginning so that the story you're telling matches the story that anyone picking up your resume and reading it learns. So one example is keywords, because keywords are extremely important. And obviously, when you're talking about AI and bots and algorithms, they're looking for keywords. They're looking for how many times a same or similar keyword shows up in your resume. But they're also looking at where it's showing up in your resume. As you know, most resumes have a professional summary at the top. And that's where you put a paragraph about your highest hopes for the position and the work that you do and the success that you've had. And you want to say there what your main top three or four skills are. You also need to make sure that those skills show up in your work history. So that is the first evidence of echo that you want to provide, because that's a story that recruiters and bots have learned from reviewing resumes, is that if someone places a keyword in their professional summary, but it is not in their work history, they are likely glossing over that capability in order to get their resume through a process.
That's intent.
And so who would know that, right? That's why we have these podcasts. Who would, if it is not your job every day to review resumes, how would you know that if you place a keyword in your professional summary, but not in your work history, that is interpreted as potentially padding your resume?
What would you say to those listeners that don't know what echo is on a resume? Like, how could you describe echo?
Echo is the placement of keywords and phrases in multiple areas on your resume that show not just the number of times that it appears, but shows that it appears in your professional summary and in your work history. Your work history is where they draw your actual capabilities from. So what I share with people is, don't build a professional summary from scratch. Go right into your work history and pull out really clear sentences from projects that you've done in the past and craft that into your professional summary. So you know that what's in your summary is in your work history. Then you can echo it again in a technical skills list, for example. You can echo it a third time in a skills list or a certifications list, an education list. You can echo it in those places, but you want to be sure that you're using it in your professional work history.
Wow. Okay. So then the echo is going to help us with the accuracy. And this is also going to help us with dividing up our resume into different areas. And then we can kind of compare over the time that we've been working to make sure everything is matching up.
That's exactly it.
Oh, okay. Well, now I understand it a little more. It's good to know these things though. And, you know, when we're creating our resumes, would you suggest that we do just have like maybe the opening objective and then dive into education and then work experience? And do we have to have references on our resume?
Also a great question. Thank you so much for asking that, because I've always wanted to share this with people. The objective is less important than the professional summary. The professional summary shows, and you can place an objective statement in your professional summary. I am a DevOps technologist with 15 years of experience in using Python to develop site reliability applications. My passion is to ensure that every company has 99.9% uptime 365 days a year. So now you've just sort of shared, this is my strength. And it's aligned with my passion, which is to make sure that company's uptime is excellent.
That is excellent. So I have heard different things about, you know, references. I've heard that some employers prefer to have references on your resume, and then some actually wait until the interview process begins. What is the best route to go?
I would suggest that you do not put your references on your resume, only because there are some systems and processes that do not want that personal information, whether it's for you or someone else. They don't want publicly shared personal information. And someone's phone number or email address along with their name represents personal information. And so you might have an issue with your resume not being forwarded because of that. And it's very easy and actually a great way to get back in front of your recruiter or your hiring manager by sharing an additional email that says, by the way, I'd like to share my references with you. Here they are. Here's what I did for them. Here's the projects we worked on together. And here's how you can reach them.
Oh, I like that. So do you wait until the recruiter or the employer asks for the references? Or could you just do that follow-up email and say, hey, you know, I wanted to add this in case you do want to reach out to them? What is the best route?
I strongly suggest the follow-up email. You want to place yourself positively in front of that recruiter or hiring manager as many times as you can without being annoying. And that's a very responsible way to do it. It makes complete sense that you would want to follow up with your references.
I love that. And it's going to put you in front of the recruiter or the employer and make you feel a little more confident that, hey, I did this and now it's just a waiting game and hopefully they will,
yes,
you know, review everything. And okay, that's a great tip. I'm definitely going to take that. And I hope the listeners do too. And let's move into the consistency of your resume. Do we have any online apps out there that can help us build the consistency on our resumes, or are we kind of just thrown into the lion's den? We're on our own.
The answer to that is there are ways. Now, some ways cost money and some ways do not, right? And so depending on how you'd like to do it, for example, LinkedIn will actually prompt you to do a resume review as you are in LinkedIn applying for a job. If you apply to a position in LinkedIn, when you click the apply button, you will actually be prompted with a request to say, would you like to have some resume help? So there are some things that are really, really quite that simple. And LinkedIn is obviously a great resource in this space in terms of what they see on resumes because they're working with them every day with personal information. So that I think is a great opportunity. It is not free. However, it's a very, very well run organization, and the team that is reviewing resumes is very good at what they do. So it's an option to consider. You can also, I always encourage people to really partner with your recruiter. So you can say, before you send my resume to that hiring manager, can we talk for a minute? Can we talk for a minute about what's really important to them? Because I want to craft this resume to really highlight the things that are important to this hiring manager. So you can also get that kind of feedback from your recruiter as well. And I would always use the opportunity to get input on your resume from people who you would like to work for. So if you know anyone at any of the companies that you'd like to work for, it's always great to just share with them, hey, if you get a second, could you take a look at this? I'm really interested in working for your company. And this is the resume I'm considering submitting. Would love your feedback if you have a moment. That's all.
That is a valuable tip that I don't think many people take advantage of. So thank you for sharing that. And I know that you mentioned about LinkedIn, and maybe there is like a little fee that you can use to help in terms of amping up your consistency on your resume, and then they help you with the process. How does it work if I were to find a job, and do I apply through LinkedIn or do I apply on the company site? What is going to be the difference?
Here's what I've noticed. The way that LinkedIn provides the service to enterprises, they are an extension of a company's career page. So essentially, if you are applying through LinkedIn or applying through the company website, there technically is not a difference. Your resume and your application information, along with obviously your LinkedIn profile, are going to be sent to the hiring team at the client or the company that you would like to work for. The only difference I see is that when I apply on the company's internal website, I get just a little bit more information because they've got their career pages. They have all the information that they're sharing about what it's like to work for them, benefits information, all of that sits in the company's website and their career pages. So you do learn a little bit more about the company, and that's always good when you're interviewing. You also can, typically larger companies allow you to become members of their talent community, and then you can very quickly get updates, understand jobs that are opening that are similar to the one that you had or the same as the one that you had, maybe in a different location. So you do get a little bit more information from their site as well.
So both are safe options, yes. But if you want a little more information, do it like on the internal website and maybe you'll get more than you bargained for. So
yes,
both could be an option. Okay. Excellent. And, you know, going back to accuracy and echo, it may seem a little repetitive, but how do we know for certain that my resume is going to be qualifying for accuracy and echo?
Typically, the best way to do that is to have someone else read it, right? Someone else who has not already looked at your resume, explain what accuracy, discrepancy, and echo is, and say, these are the things I need you to look for. If you pick up a grammar issue, great, but I'm really looking for these three things. If you were looking at my resume, how many times, what are the keywords that you think I'm really adding into my resume and where are you seeing them? So they can really, you can map out where your keywords are appearing on your resume, and that will help you as well.
Okay. I like that, mapping it out and kind of just being prepared for basically anything, and having a second pair of eyes and opinion could go a long way.
That's correct.
Okay. So how can I showcase or stand out from the rest of potential candidates for the same job that I'm applying for? What does my resume need that's going to be different from everyone? And, you know, recruiters and the employer is going to be like, I want that candidate.
That's also a great question. There's a couple of things that I would say. And first is everything that we've talked about here. You do create competitive advantage for yourself and your resume by simply being accurate, by having no discrepancies, and by echoing your keywords in the appropriate places in your resume to show not just that you have this skill, but where you've used it, for how long you've used it, the type of projects that you've used it on. The second way is really alignment, that your resume and your skills are so strongly aligned with what the hiring manager is looking for that they've got to interview you. You can't really know what that alignment is unless you are seriously familiar with the company and you understand the teams and what's happening. Most of us do not have that kind of visibility, but recruiters do. Staffing agencies do. Searching on the web and the company website can give you information. You're looking for alignment to show that what you know and what you're capable of is what they are looking for. And that is questioning recruiters about, you know, really help me understand this company and how it operates. Is this company a formal project management methodology company? Do my agile skills, are they really going to help me here? Or is this a company that's really developer driven? And if I share a bunch of my agile tools and my project management toolkit, are they going to feel that I'm going to be a flight risk when I realize that they don't use those types of tools? So it comes from questioning as many different individuals and sources as you can to really try to understand what the team that you are wanting to work with does.
So educate yourself on the actual job that you're applying for and become familiar with the company. That is really helpful. And I know the listeners will definitely take that with them. But this also kind of is in parallel with embellishing a bit on your resume. Is this a good thing, or is this something we should avoid?
I strongly recommend avoiding embellishment. There are words that you can use in the industry that recruiters and hiring managers will recognize what they mean. So in other words, I have exposure to this technology. That means I've seen it. I haven't coded in it, but I've seen it, right? I have limited experience with this technology. Okay, it's more than exposure, but I'm not proficient. I am proficient with this technology. All right, I've coded in it and I can talk to you about it, right? So you can use those types of words to explain your level of knowledge and understanding of something, but that is not where you want to use hyperbole. And also, I just want to take a second to say it is never a good idea to fabricate things like a degree or the amount of time that you've spent somewhere. It's possible that you might be successful, but you will, for the rest of your career, have that nagging fear that they're going to check that. Because at any point in your career at a company, if you've submitted a resume in which there is fabrication, if they realize it 5 years later, you can be gone in 24 hours. So there's just not a reason to do it. There's not a good reason to do
it. Yeah, it's like, what is the point of risking that? And especially if you're going to embellish on your resume, then you need to have a story to back that up.
Yes.
So if you're in the interview process, I'm thinking that, you know, I have to explain every single thing that is on my resume and have a story for it, and an accurate story, because I am not going to be able to think on the fly about, okay, I'm not a coder, but I say I can code. Well, how do I explain that to the interviewee? Like, that, you just have to be prepared. Otherwise, you know, you're just only going to hurt yourself, especially like you mentioned, in the long run, I didn't even know that your resume, I know it's like still in the system, but I didn't know that the employers could potentially go back and try to, you know, rematch up things. But I guess it makes sense with like your performance. If you are not doing well and they kind of have a little bit of a tip that maybe it was not accurate information, 24 hours, that's a short window.
Right. Because you're signing, you know, you're signing in your onboarding, you sign things about your, what's the truth and accuracy of your onboarding documentation. You've signed something that says that you've told them the truth. And so that's where they can refer to, you know, later. But I do want to share that it is important if you have an education, if you have a 4-year degree, what I always share with people is, especially if it's international, you want that diploma in your hands. Keep that diploma in your hands. Make sure that you've got a copy of that diploma. Pay for a couple extra transcripts from that university so that you have that in your hands and that you keep it with you in a safe place for the same, you know, reasons. You will have some companies that you would like to work for that your education is going to play a big part in your attraction to them. And in those cases, you want to put your education higher up in your resume, right? So you may want to have your professional summary and then your education right below it, right? If you're applying to Google and you have a software engineering degree from MIT, you want to put that right underneath your professional summary before you talk about your work history. If you are someone who's got a 4-year degree, which that's amazing, just getting that education is hard to do and it shows your ability to persevere, follow directions and see something through. But maybe it's in a field that isn't relevant to what you are applying for, or maybe it's been 20 years since you got that degree. It's okay to put that then at the end of your resume after your work history, because you don't want to highlight the fact that 20 years ago I had a degree in geology and now I'm here to talk to you about finance, right?
Right.
So you can place that at the end of the resume.
All right. And it goes with your story as well. Just go by the timeline that you have experienced everything.
Yes.
Just to be on the safe side. Okay. Those are some great tips, and I'm really excited about this topic. But before we close today's podcast, Valerie, do you have any final remarks that you want to add for the listeners?
I always share with people that if you do what we're talking about here in terms of how you craft your resume, then really your next step as you're going through the hiring process is working very closely with your recruiter and helping them help you by asking as many questions as you can to understand the job description, the opportunity, the environment, the team. There's lots of ways that your recruiter can help you. So I want to share that as well.
Thank you so much, Valerie, for sharing all of your knowledge with us and having the information presented to us on how to build accurate resumes. And to our listeners, thank you for your support, and tune in next time for more Innova Solution podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Hyagenics podcast, innovative contingent workforce solutions insights from the experts. For more information, visit hyagenics.com. Your success is our success.